I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. It is our morning after show, and that is brought to you by CGR Wholesale Roofing and Siding Supply Center and Workers' Rights Law Group. Treated unfairly at work, call 83-DIAL-KYLE. We welcome in our man from The Athletic, covers the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike DeFabo. Hello, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. That even still sounds a little bit weird, you saying it right now after the job change, but I'm glad to be here, glad to be talking Steelers with you.
What do you want me to say? Something incorrect? I mean, I'm building on facts here.
Well, I almost said something incorrect. I introduced myself to Levi Wallace this week, and I very nearly said, hey, I'm Mike DeFabo with the Pittsburgh The Athletic, I mean. So at least you got it right, so good on you for doing that.
You could be in Cranberry asking Dustin Tokarski some questions this morning.
He might have better answers for the offense, so you never know.
There you go. Take me through this. Now, you know, I've gone back and forth, and we've talked about this. I haven't actually gone back and forth. I'm pretty steadfast in my opinion here, but it seems like people have gone back and forth on what to do. I'm puzzled, though, on Mike Tomlin definitively coming out right after a game and saying, no way there's no quarterback or offensive coordinator change, when generally he's one of these, well, I've got to watch the tape. And why is he so quick to say the personnel's the personnel?
Well, because he backs his guys, and I think that he realizes that people are, like, when you want guys to compete better, then you say there's a competition at every position. But when there is a competition at every position legitimately, that's when you back your guys and you circle the wagons and you say, yeah, this is our guy, we believe in him, we're going to stick with him. And I do think that that's what's going to happen. I don't think that Tomlin is just blowing smoke right now. Like, changing midstream right now, I think, is probably not the prudent approach. I feel like week 9, when they have that bye, would be the time to make a change at quarterback and or play caller. But I think that given the fact they've got a murderer's row coming up after they play the Jets, they've got, you know, a mess of tough teams. It includes the Bills, the Bucks, the Eagles. Miami has a good defense. It's going to be tough. I don't think that now is going to be the time that they make the change, and I think he's being honest when he tells you that.
Mike, could you catch a pulse with some of the players after the game? I mean, you could really tell professional football players, you could really tell body language with them and how they feel within situations and how things are going. You could just tell by the way they walk. You could tell by the way they carry themselves after games, if it really affects them. Did you catch a consistent pulse with anybody after the game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm relatively new to covering football here, as people know. But when I was talking with my partner, Mark Cavalli, afterwards, he was like, I can't remember a time when we walked into the locker room and guys just looked at us. I mean, they were certainly frustrated. Cam Hayward was talking about how the Steelers got their butts kicked, and he's frustrated because he had talked all week about how they had to slow down Nick Chubb, and then they absolutely did not do that. There was the back-breaking drive when there were 11 plays and 10 of them were runs. I mean, they just told them that they were going to run the football, and they did it anyway. And offensively, I think that guys just are kind of like grasping at straws, trying to figure out what's going to be the answer here, because through 3 weeks, right when they looked like they had generated some positive momentum, it definitely went by the wayside in that second half.
Are they in danger, they being Mike Tomlin and the rest of his staff, of losing the room as you sense the frustration from the wide receivers especially? You could see it in their body language on the sideline. George Pickens in particular, sitting there at the end of the bench as the Browns ran out the clock, sort of twisting his hair, staring at the ground, thinking to himself, what the heck did I get myself into here? Did you catch any of that vibe?
I don't know if they are, just because of the fact that I think a lot of people have so much respect for Mike Tomlin. And if anything, he's been able to find a way to take mediocre teams or teams that didn't have the best roster and convince them to play hard and play for something when maybe even they didn't. So I don't think that that's the case. But what they are at risk at is Mike Tomlin's first losing season as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. When we went into this year, they promised us that their recipe for success was going to be they were going to play elite, dominant defense, win games on that side of the ball, and then do enough with a game manager on offense to not lose them. But what you're seeing right now is maybe this is not an elite defense. Maybe this is a defense with elite players that when you take the best player off of it, it's not as good. And you realize they don't have a lot of depth on defense. And all of a sudden, are they not only, you know, not dominating there, they're getting the ball run down their throat and they can't stop it and they don't have a solution. And then offensively, I think they just have no identity whatsoever. That formula works when you have a Cleveland Brown offense with great offensive linemen and two solid running backs and you're committed to the run and you play complementary football. But when you're going three and out on three consecutive series in the second half and you're just throwing that defense right back on the field only to get the ball run down their throats, that's not a recipe for success. So anything that they hope to do and win based on the defense is not what they promised, and then the offense is doing them absolutely no favors, and that's why they sit here at 1-2.
I thought it was interesting that you said what you said about Mike Tomlin backing his guys in the postgame press conference. What would you, Mike DeFabo, do at the quarterback position? Would you go to Kenny Pickett now with 10 days between games?
I don't think that I would at this point. I think that I would go to Kenny Pickett week 9 during the bye. I think that just feels like the natural time. You've gotten, you know, you don't want, if they're not going to do it this week, then what you're saying is you want Kenny Pickett to make his debut against the Buffalo Bills on the road. And the Buffalo Bills had, I believe, the best defense in the league last year, at least in terms of points allowed. That's a pretty tough environment to walk into when you know you're going to have to air it out. So I think that giving him that extra week during week 9, that feels like the most natural time to sit back, evaluate things, figure out what, you know, do that self-scouting that you always do during the bye week and figure out where you go from there. And probably the answer at that point is going to be turning to Kenny Pickett.
Duncan, the official Coffee of the Fan morning show. Do you think that there'll be a different percentage on reps in the next couple weeks at the quarterback position? Even if they don't turn to Kenny Pickett, will there be an expedited measure in his readiness?
You know, I don't know, because the weird thing about football practices, and Doran could probably speak to this more than anybody, is that the backup quarterbacks really don't see reps. Like, Kenny Pickett's job at practice this week, he's scout team. He's, like, more or less throwing interceptions to the defense on purpose to have them practice catching the football. So I don't know that you can get two quarterbacks ready. I don't know. What do you think, Doran?
Yeah, I know. I think you can. I think you can definitely get two quarterbacks ready. I mean, there's more to doing things in practice. I mean, even routes on air, you're running the routes that's going to be ran in the game. You know, everybody gets reps in that area. Individual periods, there's little things that you can get ready without actually having to take a team rep. And you know what, right now, Mike, you know, team reps and the periods in practice, you know, they're starting to slim down. It's like almost a jog through. Nobody's really going hard. So even a mental rep for Kenny Pickett is almost just as good as a team rep.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And being in there.
That's your cue to talk, Michael.
Oh, yeah. Do you like how I flipped that? I started asking
that
question.
Yeah, but then you're supposed to talk after
that.
Yeah,
like I threw it back to
you.
No,
I agree with you. I thought you guys were going to fire another question at me, but you're I hear you, but yeah, you're right. Like the thing that I've noticed is that there aren't a lot of live team reps. But yeah, I mean, at this point, Kenny's got to do whatever he can to get himself ready, because you don't know what is going to be the circumstance that thrusts him into action. Is it going to be, he's going to have a whole week to prepare and game plan, or is it going to be a sudden injury where it's like, get out there and we'll see how ready he is at that point. But I mean, I was of the mind initially coming into the season, why don't the Steelers just kind of take the patient approach? Don't rush him into anything. Let him get used to NFL game planning. Let him used to being in this environment. But the more that the season slips away, if the Steelers lose a couple more, at that point, what are you waiting for? And you have to right. start playing for next year. So the urgency is obviously going to be every game they lose, the calls for Kenny Pickett are only going to intensify. And I think that that's a fair way to go about things, because if you're not going to make the playoffs, then you might as well start thinking about next season, start thinking about getting that quarterback ready, because based on what we've seen, I don't imagine that Mitch Trubisky is the future of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, for a head coach who always wants to talk about how their goal is, and not just a head coach, but an entire organization that always wants to talk about the goal is to win championships, right? When do you think Mike Tomlin stops being dismissive towards the idea of considering changes, not just a quarterback, but at offensive coordinator? Because Brooke asked him last night, and he gave her the old definitively no. He's not interested at all in talking about changes at OC or quarterback. So what causes Mike Tomlin to finally have that long, hard look in the mirror, Mike?
I think after a couple losses, that'll definitely change things when it comes to the quarterback. I think the coordinator is a little bit of a different discussion because of the fact, like, let's say that they change coordinator, right? How much of that offense is going to change? And then when you do inevitably go to Kenny Pickett, is he going to have to now go out there with the second offense that he's learned in his young career? It's been tough with Matt Canada, because even ever since the Steelers started 11-0 in 2020, and then teams figured out that they were just going to dink and dunk, the offense has sputtered. And so this has spanned multiple seasons and two different quarterbacks. And last year we chalked it up to, well, maybe Ben is just old. And maybe Ben is just old. I'm not discounting that. But now the fact that you're seeing it with another quarterback, and this was supposed to be the year for Matt Canada, that he didn't have Ben holding him back, and he could do all of the things and add all of the college wrinkles that he was hoping to add to this offense, and you're still not seeing any better results, that's really a tough case that he should continue on, unless things get on the right track here. But that said, I still don't even know whether switching the coordinator is the right approach. Like until recently, I thought that Mike Sullivan was the Penguins coach. I did not know that. I mean, the fact that you're going to like turn it over to him and say, here, you now somehow figure this out in the middle of the season. I'm not sure if that's the best approach, or if that's going to be the kind of thing that has to be corrected in the off season. We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
All right, Mike, we thank you so very much. We appreciate it. We'll check in with you throughout the football season, as you're now a football reporter, and we'll talk soon.
Awesome, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us and asking us questions.
Yes.
Thank you much.
That was such a sincere thank you.
He's very sincere. He's a sincere man.
Nice guy. Nice guy.
Text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan. Text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. We have to revisit our Twitter poll, because if the Steelers left it up to the people, there'd be some changes, that's for sure. We're the Fan Morning Show, presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. And speaking of them, listen, maybe you kicked your heat on for that first time last night, or maybe it's coming pretty soon. Undeniably, you're going to throw that furnace on soon. Well, don't get caught off guard. Don't go to click it on and say, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with it. Have Armstrong Comfort Solutions in right now to make sure that it proactively works, get it going, get it kicked on, get it moving so that heat is blowing out. You give them a call, get a technician out to your house right now. That's Armstrong Comfort Solutions. Call them today or book an appointment online, armstrongcomfort.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steelers fall to the Browns last night. Mike Tomlin says after the game, not to expect any offensive changes. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com. Fan headlines powered by Bowser Chevrolet, your Pittsburgh Chevy headquarters. Adam Crowley here for the Bet Park Sportsbook and Casino app. It's everything you want in a digital casino and sportsbook. Join Bet Parks with me now. It's the only casino and sportsbook app that I recommend. Safe, secure, easy to use, backed by the number one casino in all of Pennsylvania, not an out-of-state operation. Parks is based right here in PA. Bet more than the score. Bet game props, like what team scores first, the halftime score. Bet the total points by team by quarter, so much more. Check out Same Game Parlays by clicking on the SGP icon on the Bet Parks app. Download on the App Store, Google Play Store, or at betparks.com. New users can make their first bet risk-free, up to $750. Your risk-free bet refunded in site credit. Download on the App Store, Google Play Store, or at betparks.com and use promo code THEFAN. Must be 21 and in PA or New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, we make our picks on everything before the hour is out, so there is that. We have to reset our Twitter poll in just a little bit because if you listen to the people want change. But Crowley, before we get back into the Steelers here, a question. Are you aware of what's happening with you? The light hit you just right a little bit ago. You're going really gray on the sides. Is this your West Virginia's not winning? They won last night, but are you aware of this?
I am aware of this. I've been told it makes me look distinguished and sexy.
Yeah, that was a lie.
By whom? Your wife or another woman?
My wife. I was told by the lady who cuts my hair that it's actually a good look.
She says that to everybody.
At least my hair's not falling out, which is good.
Yeah, you know what? It does. It's distinguishing in so much as this. It's only on the sides. It's not on the top.
Oh, if I'm out in the sunlight, my man.
It's on the top.
Oh, it's in the top.
Okay. You have more grays than me.
He has a lot. See,
I have a ton of grays, and I think it really started when my daughter was born. I just stopped sleeping, and really, I haven't slept ever since.
Welcome to the club, buddy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I don't mind it, though. I really don't.
Are you going to get some, like, Just for Men? Like,
nah, lean in.
Keith Hernandez, is he the one that did that?
I've been told that if I shaved my beard, you guys would look, I look like I'm 6 years old. And so if I can get some grays, a little beard.
So you want to appear older?
I do.
By March, you're going to look like Stefanski. You'll take that, huh?
I will take that big
time. Good looking guy. What a good looking guy that Stefanski. His beard was perfect. He is. He's, you know, his dad was an NBA general manager.
Really?
Yeah, for the Sixers.
Do you think he became more popular in Cleveland after the pandemic when he took the mask off? Do you think people were like, yeah, this guy's okay, then bang, masks off, and whoa, look
Great
at this cat.
Point.
Good looking dude. Smart guy. Went to Penn.
Yeah.
I mean, just smart, good
looking
guy.
Been around business, obviously, with his dad. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he knows what's up. He knows what time it is. But anyway, back to your gray hair.
Oh.
What's your plan for it? Just to let it go?
Yeah, just let it go. Lean right into that sucker. I don't know if people are just being nice when they say.
They are.
It's a distinguished thing. Okay, very good. Well, I'm still going to lean into it. I'm not big on doing much to change what God gave me.
Age I'm just naturally go. And gracefully.
That's right.
I like it. Okay. I like that. Not a bad plan from Crowley.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did Pony say to you yesterday?
I walked in the back yesterday. Pony looked at me and goes, you just look dreadful. You look like you haven't slept, which I haven't. But I have the bags under my eyes. I do. I can see myself in the reflection here. I do look bad today. I got to get out of here.
Yeah? What about, what? You know when I knew it was going to be a bad day yesterday? I did. I heard this. I knew it was going to be a bad day. This happened between these two gentlemen. I can't believe that this is how it went down between these two guys. They were just at each other.
Do you go to Pickett in that circumstance? I certainly would.
Probably not. They've been careful. They, you know.
Why wouldn't you?
According to Hokie, they want to wait if they can.
I know what they want to do. What would you do?
if I'm in their shoes and see him every day and don't think he's ready, I'm going to wait.
But you don't see him every day. What would you, Ron Cook, do?
I would probably make him wait, Joe, for the third time.
No, you didn't couch it that way after the first two times. You're telling me what they would do. I'm asking you what you would do.
I'm not going to put him in on the road. And I would rather
Why not? He's your first round pick.
I'd rather have him against the Jets at home.
This is the precise moment I knew the Steelers had no chance in the football game.
I would probably make him wait, Joe, for the third time.
No, you didn't.
Right then, yesterday, I knew our city was too tense. It was just too much.
For the third time.
Everybody was just at odds with each other, and that we were not in the right frame of mind. People were stealing each other's joy. It was too much.
I would probably make him wait, Joe, for the third time.
No, you didn't.
That kills me.
Right. Nobody can get along. It was like Matt Canada and Friermuth.
He didn't start the segment all the way up here, the sentence all the way up here.
Yeah.
It built to it in the middle of the sentence, which is glorious.
Yeah, Joe, I've had enough of your stuff. Not stuff. He wanted to say something else.
Tell me what you think, Ron.
And credit to Joe. See, I leaned to Joe. Joe gets the W in all of this because he was prodding and trying to get the answer. He just wanted a square answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's all Joe wanted.
Yep.
And Ron wasn't going to give it to him, and Joe wasn't going to relent until he got a square answer or a blow up.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
So he got the blow up.
For the third time.
I know. All right. Coming up next, we got to reset our Twitter poll because if the people speak and the organization listens to the people, well, then there's going to be change. We hear that coming up in just a couple minutes. We pick the games that we pick before we get out of here. Good morning. Vote every day, Fan Morning Show, at Fan Morning Show on Twitter. We run a daily Twitter poll. Gets a lot of votes, especially when they're Steeler-centric, and especially when there's some kind of controversy, which there seemingly is now. Not according to Mike Tomlin, but according to us, there is with the quarterback position. So if you look at it right now, and it's at the very top of our Fan Morning Show Twitter handle, at Fan Morning Show, the question is this. Weekend Twitter poll here. Who should start at quarterback for the Steelers next week against the Jets? Trubisky, Pickett, Rudolph. 59.8% of you, so 6 in 10 of you pretty much, say Kenny Pickett. 28.6% say Mitch Trubisky, and 11.6% say Mason Rudolph. So when you add Trubisky and Rudolph together, you still don't come up with the amount of people that want Kenny Pickett.
Right.
I don't think that's any surprise this morning, but it was, before the season started, even with the hometown hero, Kenny Pickett, him having those sort of votes. And as we went through this, there were people that rumbled, yeah, Mitch Trubisky, or Kenny Pickett, yeah, we'd like to see him out there. We'd like to see him out there. But they still, their wits told them, give Mitch Trubisky a chance.
Yeah.
Give him a shot. You know, I can understand it. I think it's to the point now where the fan base, at least, is like, you know, if the offense is so young, and they are, for the most part. You got Pickens, you got Claypool, you got Deontay Johnson, you got the line that's largely young, you got Friermuth, you got Najee Harris, and all those, they're so young. What exactly does it hurt to just play Kenny Pickett and infuse him in with the guys he is allegedly going to be playing with? What would it hurt?
Maybe the future of who's going to be OC. Maybe they look at it. Maybe they already have a plan. You know, maybe they already have an exit strategy for Matt Canada and they don't want to put Kenny in. Maybe they had one before the season. Maybe they just gave him a year. And they were like, oh, we know who we're going to get. We know who we might go after next year to go along with Kenny. That's why, and that's all hypothetical, that's why we might wait to put Kenny in. That's the only way I think that something could hurt him.
I was initially, and people know, gigantic Mitch Trubisky guy. All right. But there's got to be a dropping off point when, if you're not getting results, it doesn't hurt to try something new.
Yeah, and I think,
and I'm there.
I think the people that have jumped onto the all right, get Pickett in their bandwagon are the people that thought to themselves, well, with Mitch Trubisky, they should be able to do enough to win, you know, 9 games, sneak into the playoffs. Well, now we can see that between Canada and Trubisky, this isn't a team that can win 8 or 9 games. The way they're currently playing, they're a 6-win team, maybe 7. And if that's the case, if you're not going to be a playoff team, then let's get Kenny Pickett in there and let's see what he can do.
But what if Kenny's bad?
Then you at least you know.
What if he's really bad?
Then at least you know.
Know what? That you don't have a future?
That doesn't mean you don't have a future. That doesn't mean you can't go back to the Arizona
it's hard
Cardinals.
To come
What's
back?
The difference if Kenny Pickett's bad now or if Kenny Pickett's bad next September? What's the difference?
Because
what's the difference?
The evaluation of him being bad next September, he'll have a full year under his belt, and they will know what they actually have in him as just a player, even if he doesn't play. They will know what they have in him with a full year under his belt as an NFL player.
That's the part I don't understand, though. Kendrick Green, he played right away. Najee Harris, he played right away. Heck, Jordan Norwood, or Trey Norwood, right, excuse yeah. Jordan Norwood. Jordan Norwood's a Penn State guy, right? Trey Norwood, he played right away.
What's quarterback?
Chase Claypool, he played right away. I get that. I know it's the quarterback. That, for me, is more of a reason why you should play. They got no problem in Tennessee saying, our guy's going in there. He's going in the next couple weeks if mm-hmm. they don't win.
As long as they thought they had a chance, and here's the problem. Mike Tomlin and the rest of the organization are so far behind the curve in recognizing what's going on here as compared to us and the fans and everybody that watches this thing on a regular basis that they don't yet believe that they can't really go to the playoffs and do something this year. So they're going to grasp on like Wile E. Coyote's fingernails hanging off the edge of the cliff to the hope that maybe we can squeeze out 9 wins and get to the playoffs and something could happen. No, that's not going to happen. So flip the page.
I'm just here right now. They've had no playoff wins since the 2016 season. They've missed the playoffs 4 times since the last Super Bowl. The Steelers are 3-7 in the playoffs since the last Super Bowl. I don't need to trust their processes anymore. I can think their processes are wrong. I'm all right to think that.
For sure.
Everybody thinks, not everybody, a short time ago people said, well, your standard's the standard. Mike Tomlin, he can't do any wrong. He knows exactly what he's doing. I don't need to think they know what they're doing because they're not getting results, particularly in the postseason. That being said, when they say, or everybody says, and the default is, well, you just got to wait, he's a rookie, whatever. I don't know that to be the right process because their processes haven't yielded wins recently. That's just, it was gospel in this town whenever they were churning out playoff victories, whenever they're going to AFC championship games, when they were winning Super Bowls. It was gospel in this town. The Steelers did this, and you said, well, yeah, that's the right decision. It's the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that logo doesn't carry as much juice anymore. I look at it and I say, well, they ain't winning as many football games. Maybe the decisions aren't right. And I feel very empowered to be able to question them.
For sure.
And one of them, I think, is this quarterback situation right now when I think you give Mitch Trubisky a chance, which they did, and then you have to say, we need to reevaluate.
Do you give any cushion to the fact that Ben Roethlisberger retired and so did Kevin Colbert? Do you give any cushion for those two things being not in the picture anymore?
I mean, there's some allowance made for those things happening. But if the argument is always going to be Mike Tomlin is a great coach, you know, based on no losing seasons and all, well, then if he's a great coach, then he should be the reason they're succeeding in spite of the GM retiring and the franchise quarterback retiring. He should be the steadying force in an organization that otherwise looks like the quote-unquote standard has changed from competing for championships to just sneaking into the playoffs.
Hiring Matt Canada was never good enough. It was never going to be good enough. And having a farcical search for that job was never good enough. And I don't understand how that was allowed to happen, and now we're seeing the yields of it.
Was that on Colbert?
Well, I think it's obvious Tomlin wanted him.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he comes from Maryland where his kid was playing at the time, and had a relationship with him from when he was next door. It's, once again, I'm sounding like a broken record. I've mentioned it several times this morning. It's consistency just for consistency's sake. It's getting your OC waiting in place before you get rid of Fichtner because you believe that's going to lend it some sort of steadying presence.
Well, there's consistency for consistency's sake. At some point, transfers into being stale.
Yeah, stagnant.
Mm-hmm. And that's where they are.
Yeah.
So I'm going gray.
Yes. Yeah. Bad. Real bad, especially on the sides. You look like the guy on the Just for Men box that is the before picture. You just have a little bit going on.
You're like the touch of gray guy.
Yes.
You know how they have the one where you could just leave a couple grays here? That's you.
They're crushing you.
I think it looks good.
I'm not one to talk, man.
I think it's fine.
I mean, look at these sides.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's rough.
It is. That's what happens when you get up at 3:30 in the morning every day.
It's not bothering you, though. I honestly think it looks good.
Thank you, Colin.
Certainly. For sure. Yep. We make our picks coming up in just a couple minutes. Good morning to you, Fan Morning Show.
Steelers lost to the Browns yesterday. Mike Tomlin, after the game, said he's not going to make any changes with the offense. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com. Fan headlines powered by Bowser Chevrolet, your Pittsburgh Chevy headquarters.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.